Hey, football fans, it's Patrick Peterson, former three-time All-Pro NFL cornerback, and now the new host of First and Pod, the podcast that breaks down every game, every week, with new episodes dropping every Monday and Friday mornings. Plus, I'll be highlighting key matchups for DBs around the league on Patrick's Corner. Be sure to subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
WPHT, WPHT, HD, WOGL, HD3, Philadelphia. Always live on the free Odyssey app. From the Cherry Hill Volvo Studios, where relationships matter. Live and local from Philadelphia. Free speech lives here. Here. It's Kale and Company on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
And away we go, live on this Monday, April 22nd. It is indeed Kale and Company right here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Always live on the free Odyssey app. And, of course, streaming live for your video viewing pleasure on YouTube as we head until 10 o'clock this morning. 855-839-1210, the phone number. On social media at 1210 WPHT. I am at Nick Kale, K-A-Y. A.L. Dawn Stenslin with the news. Greg Stocker, the chairman of the board. Phil Omquist, Anthony Dorenzo, our associate producers, coming off of a action-packed weekend. Dawn, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Happy Monday morning.
Gregory.
Yeah, buddy. Let's do this. Monday morning. Come on. Wake up. Wake up, Delaware Valley. We started 6 a.m. Come on.
Go
get
time.
With it. Come on.
Nice day. Friday. Out at Fairmount Park.
Yeah.
Picking up trash.
That's what we were doing.
I was a little sore when I woke up Saturday morning.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Only found one homeless encampment. Wasn't that bad?
Thought about taking the TV with me.
Yeah. There was a TV, Dawn, with bullet holes in it. I kid you not.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
But it was the old school TV with, like, the really big back to it.
Yeah.
We call that the Fonnie Willis TV because it had a big backside. You know what I'm saying? It's like a 14-inch TV just hanging out there in the woods.
I mean, if you're going to be homeless, and I know there's a big Supreme Court case this week that's going to be heard, but if you're going to be homeless, why not get a lakefront property, right?
Right. You squat down there for a while.
Right there on the lake.
Hack somebody's Netflix account.
Yeah.
Have a good old party.
I bet in the homeless world, that's top billing, right?
Top shelf.
Top shelf.
No doubt about
it. Trump Plaza.
It's like 40 West. We got a lot of good stuff to get to on the show this morning. Title IX, obliterated as we know it by Joe Biden on Friday. Riley Gaines, many females, ticked off, certainly justified, rightfully so. We'll talk about that in the big take. Also, an update that Dawn was talking about Friday in the second hour of her show, where we have that assault at Pembroke Middle School. We're going to get into that coming up at the bottom of the hour. Elected officials in this country giving unlimited funding to Ukraine and then waving the Ukrainian flag. We've got video footage of this. Threats to democracy. A man on fire on Friday. Legitimately. Not Denzel Washington from Man on Fire, but a man on fire outside of Trump's courthouse on Friday. We'll get to that. The cut sheets loaded and much, much more. But before we get to all of it, let's get to the news. Round number one, 603. The great Dawn Stenslin.
Good morning. Sponsored by Joseph Anthony Retreat Spa and Salon. This Monday morning, April 22nd, starting quite chilly, 37 degrees, clear skies, warming up to 63 and sunny on this first day of Passover, which, of course, begins sundown this evening. Classes canceled. Delaware State University, where an 18-year-old girl was shot and killed on campus. Police say they're investigating after the shooting, which happened yesterday. Delaware State University's campus is closed for all classes this morning. This is in Dover, Delaware. Officers say that investigation started about 2 o'clock in the morning, yesterday morning, in other words, Saturday night into Sunday. Campus police called to the area of Warren Franklin Residential Hall for reports of shots fired inside the residential hall. Inside, they found an 18-year-old young lady from Wilmington. She's a non-student suffering from a gunshot wound to her upper body. They rushed her to the hospital, and they could not save her life. So she was killed. that investigation underway this morning. The so-called assailants ran or fled from the residential hall. So authorities saying, somebody knows who did this. Mm-hmm. Please come forward.
I'm imagining there'll be grief counselors probably as well.
Yeah. Grief counselors, but no classes today.
Okay.
So we also have in Philadelphia on the Boulevard, actually two bad accidents on the Roosevelt Boulevard over the weekend. But in one of them, a 16-year-old boy was killed. They were driving a red Nissan Rogue SUV when they lost control, were driving quickly. Three teenagers were inside this Nissan, speeding, according to witnesses, crashed into a tree. One of the 16-year-old passengers was killed. We don't know if that 16-year-old was wearing their seatbelt, but we know that the driver of the 16-year-old driver is in the hospital recovering. Philadelphia police investigating that one.
Ugh.
And I do not know the who the vehicle is registered to. Mm-hmm. We don't have that information. Whose vehicle is this? Who are these 16-year-olds? They're not being identified. So a 16-year-old dead. Neighbors running to that crash to try to pull these teens out of the vehicle.
Wow.
And try to save them.
Terrible.
We have a first in Philadelphia. The former Philadelphia police officer who shot and killed 12-year-old TJ Sedaria. Remember the story, South Philadelphia, more than 2 years ago? Edsel Mendoza, the 28-year-old officer, pleaded guilty on Friday to third-degree murder. This is the first city officer to ever be convicted of murder for an on-duty shooting.
Wow. And this was more than 2 years ago? Because this one doesn't ring a bell for me. This was probably before I moved back up here. But
yeah, a little over 2 years ago.
Okay.
The 12-year-old TJ Sedaria had been out with friends that night. And then Officer Mendoza was with a special task force of officers. The 12-year-old at the time was in a group of young people who had fired shots at officers at their vehicle. And this at the time of the reporting, the officer who fired the shot had said that he was returning fire after the officers were shot upon. In this one, Mendoza, the officer who pleaded guilty on Friday, he was charged initially with first-degree murder and voluntary manslaughter. Prosecutors, this is DA Larry Krasner, had said that the officer chased the 12-year-old, then shot him in the back at closer range. It was dark. So this was a March 2022 shooting.
Okay.
Youngest person ever killed by a city police officer. In this one, I'll point out, it's third-degree murder. That's the plea deal that Mendoza cut. But the headline this morning, first city officer convicted of murder for an on-duty shooting.
Oh, boy. All right.
So we have that one going on. We have a hearing scheduled today. We'll talk about this upcoming. So headlining this one to let you know that it's coming up in just a few minutes. But a hearing scheduled today for a 13-year-old middle schooler accused of brutally attacking another student, a 12-year-old girl. This is North Penn School District. And that 13-year-old boy expected in court facing charges of aggravated assault. So we're updating. This is North Wales, Montgomery County, Pembroke Middle School. There are two middle schools, so we want to make sure that you know which one it happened in. There's a lot swirling and a lot developing on this story this morning, so we want to bring it all to you momentarily. Opening statements make history in Manhattan in the felony criminal trial against former President Donald J. Trump. So we'll be talking about this one as well.
I'm still surprised they got through jury selection basically in 3.5 days. I did not see that happening at all.
Yeah, they moved through it. And Trump all over social media talking about it. But he'll be there in court. It's a showdown and everybody will be there.
Let's get it on.
In Bucks County, this is one of those bizarro stories that's making national news. A woman was killed after a tree fell onto a camper. This is Bucks County over the weekend, Quaker Woods campground in Milford Township. So police say two people were inside that camper when the tree fell. They've identified 69-year-old Cynthia Cousins. She was killed when that tree fell onto the camper. Her husband, also inside the camper, he survived. No word yet on whether he was injured.
You said Milford Township, Quaker yes. Woods. I want to say that's right around the intersection. If you get off the Northeast Extension in Quakertown, I think that's kind of right in the 663-309, that intersection area, if you know the area. That's definitely camper area for sure. That's just an awful story.
Oh, it's terrible.
Yeah, Milford Township.
What a way to go, though, man.
I know. I mean, it's like when we
I hate
that.
Trees. Can I just say this? I want to go on a tree rant for a second. I hate trees. Everybody, I know.
They're kind of important.
Our sister station this morning did a whole thing on, we plant trees because it's good for the environment. No, I tear down trees because they fall, they do damage. Branches fall.
You might actually be the premier golf course designer in America if you want to be.
No trees.
Every golfer is sick of damn trees.
Yeah,
okay?
Enough of trees.
They're 90% air.
Yeah.
By like legitimate like science. Yet they're 100% wood on a golf course.
Exactly. Exactly. We don't need they do more harm than they do good.
I agree.
Thank you very much. I hate trees.
Greg, how much did you apparently have to spend when a tree fell in your yard?
A lot. A lot. Thank you very much.
Stalker's out there with a chainsaw.
No, I no, my neighbor.
Hire somebody.
My neighbor. I'll give him a free plug. My neighbor, Brennan Tree Service, does a fabulous job.
Okay.
I don't get any freebies. He charges me full rate, but it's they're a good company. Yeah, but right. Yeah, I hate trees.
Yeah, I do too. The hell with them.
Well, we hate the Knicks.
Yep. I hate them too.
So we had
a disaster that was.
We had a family birthday party over the weekend, man. And we tried so hard to avoid watching the game. The men, I'm like, well, where's Larry? Where's my brother-in-law? Where are the men?
They're all inside watching the
they
game.
They were down, hidden in the basement. They like ding ding ding, yeah. Snuck down
yeah.
there.
Yeah, where all men should have been watching the Sixers get destroyed. Man.
We got done golfing on Saturday and went to a little restaurant right outside the golf course and caught the second half. We sat down, look up at the TV at the restaurant, and it's Sixers are down 12 or 13 at the half.
Disgraceful.
And then they come storming out, and it's a game, and then, of course, we know how it ends.
Isn't what happened to Joel Embiid the epitome of his career?
Yes.
Go up there, make a amazing trick shot, and then get injured on the way down?
Yep.
And I know it's not serious.
Every time I see him fall to the ground, I hold my breath.
He's questionable today. I'm sure he'll play.
Yeah.
Not for the entire game, but God, when he was out of that game on Saturday, they looked like dog poop.
They should legitimately keep him in bubble wrap whenever he's not on the basketball floor.
Amen.
The worst. And it's like the Knicks
and they don't have their best player either.
Yeah.
In Julius Randle.
Yeah. Well, the Knicks
second best player.
The Knicks are basically the Villanova championship team of 2016.
They got all these Philly kids.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was what everybody said. Oh, Villanova.
DiVincenzo.
Brunson
and Josh Hart. Yeah.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
So now we have the Knicks taking on our Sixers. It was 111-104 if you didn't stay up for it or if you were upstairs in the family party. But so now we have game two our Sixers face the Knicks. So come on, got to do this.
Yep.
We also have our Phillies swept the Red Sox. We got that going for
White
us.
White Sox.
Which is, excuse me, the White Sox. I'm saying red because I'm thinking of the Cincinnati Reds, this evening they begin.
If you don't sweep the White Sox, I think you get thrown out of the league.
Yeah, that's the rule. You go back down to AAA.
I mean, the fact that we're celebrating a sweep of the White Sox is great. Yeah. Come on.
The Phillies, Braves, and Mets have all won six straight.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of interesting. The division actually looks pretty competitive so far in the first month.
Yeah, the Phillies, after starting off.
This is a great
like
first month for us.
14-7 or 14-8. Yeah.
I take that all day.
Yep.
So Cincinnati Reds, that series begins this evening.
Yeah, it's like a 10-game road trip now.
Oh.
So.
What, are they going to Italy like gone?
Nice. And don't forget Rome.
And by the way, I hate trees. Thank you.
Yes, we've established that.
He hates trees and he hates the Knicks. Urgh. So let's talk about our forecast before we get to Joseph Anthony Retreat Spa and Salon, our sponsor this morning. 42 degrees, clear, feels like 38, a little breezy, a little chilly. Today, though, 63, bright, sunny skies, so it will be a beautiful sundown as many across our region, across the nation, Passover begins this evening. And then tomorrow for your Tuesday, we warm up to 68 degrees, bright, sunny skies through Friday, 68 tomorrow, 69 for your Wednesday, Thursday, 61, Friday, 63, so a beautiful, as Greg Stalker says, a beautiful Tuesday coming up. And a beautiful week ahead. Joseph Anthony Retreat Spa and Salon, The Secret. to spoiling the moms in your life this spring, now with three locations, Glen Mills, Springfield, Center City at the Lowe's Hotel. Visit in person or online, josephanthony.com. Gift cards are available. That's josephanthony.com. Just a reminder, Mother's Day, right around the corner.
Mm-hmm. I've got it in my planner.
Okay, got it in your planner.
I jotted it down.
I know you've been good. Couple of years, you got the flowers going.
You've been good the last couple of years.
I'm making up for the first 38.
No. May 12th coming up. Oh, so boy. Joseph Anthony Retreat Spa and Salon. It's a good idea.
Yes, it is. All right. Thank you very much, Dawn. From Joseph Anthony to Joseph Biden, let's get to a Monday Big Take.
The Big Take on Kale and Company.
And it's brought to you by United Tire, Title IX, and the Biden administration. I think if you had no horse in the race or no dog in the fight, and you dislike Joe Biden and you dislike Donald Trump equally, you could advertise and promote the 2024 election by framing it this way. Who hates females more? Donald Trump after SCOTUS and overturning Roe v. Wade and returning abortion to the states? Or Joe Biden, as Democrats have obliterated Title IX and all it affords biological females in the world of women's sports? We have argued that the November election will come down to abortion versus the border, a very close second being the economy. But now you can make it even more specific. Could it come down to abortion versus Title IX? I believe you can make that argument. As awful as this news from Friday is, here's the silver lining. The Democrats and progressives just threw the GOP a major lifeline with a demographic that could decide who becomes the 47th president of the United States. In fact, as crazy as it may sound, you can say advantage Republicans. I want you to think about this. 80 to 90% of Americans believe that trans males have zero business in women's sports, locker rooms, and bathrooms. The only ones who do are the fringe, far-left lunatics who are the vocal minority of the Democrat Party. You can actually argue, even though Republicans are 0-9 when abortion is on the ballot in the aftermath of Roe v. Wade, that there are more pro-lifers and pro-lifers with exceptions, percentage-wise, in America than those who have no problem with dudes in lady sports, which makes it a far more compelling debate. And there's almost no debate about trans and Title IX. The major breaking news coming down on Friday, just as Kale and Company was wrapping up for the week. Headline from Fox News, breaking, Biden dismantles Trump-era Title IX rules and sidesteps the issue of trans athletes in girls' sports. The new provisions are part of a revised Title IX regulation issued by the Education Department, fulfilling a campaign pledge by President Biden. Here is one advocate from the Independent Women's Forum breaking down what this means and how angry biological women are. Listen and watch this.
Today, the Biden administration dropped their much-anticipated rewrite of Title IX. This new rewrite is going to affect women and girls substantially. In the rewrite, they stated that sex is now equivalent to gender identity. What this means is men can take academic and athletic scholarships from women. Men can have full access to women's bathrooms and locker rooms. Men can be housed in women's dorms. And worst of all, students and faculty members alike are going to be forced to use preferred pronouns. Specifically, it is sexual harassment if you do not use the preferred pronouns for an individual. This rewrite undermines all the original efforts of Title IX. It is more important now than ever for us women and girls to speak up against this unlawful rewrite of Title IX. And to the Biden administration, thanks for showing us that you do not stand with women and girls and do not care about all the hard work we've done to fight for our rights.
The Biden administration unveiling new rules aimed at safeguarding LGBTQ plus students and changing the ways in which sexual harassment and assault claims are adjudicated on campus. The new provisions part of a revised Title IX regulation issued by the Education Department. Missing from the new rule, however, is a policy forbidding schools from enacting outright bans on transgender athletes competing against biological females. The Biden administration was widely expected to bring in such a policy, but has instead put the provision on hold. The delay is widely seen as a political maneuver, directing and during an election year in which Republicans have rallied around bans on transgender athletes in girls' sports.
Under the new rules, sex discrimination includes discrimination based on gender identity as well as sexual orientation. A school must not separate or treat people differently based on sex, except in limited circumstances under the provisions, and critics say that the change will allow locker rooms and bathrooms to be based on gender identity. But make no mistake about it, that outright ban that was expected from Biden by many will absolutely go into effect after the election if Joe Biden is successful and wins. The only reason the full ban didn't come as part of this reworked Title IX was because the big guy doesn't want to lose any more females over the issue that could impact their voting decision. And for those unaware, Title IX was created to protect women and girls from discrimination and abuse. But Friday, the Biden administration removed that protection and replaced it with a rule against prejudice based on stereotypes, orientation, identity, and sex characteristics. Under this new rule, elementary schools will lose funding if they tell parents that their six-year-old uses different pronouns at school or wants to transition, etc. Riley Gaines tweeting the following on Friday, the Biden administration has just officially abolished Title IX as we knew it. Now, sex equals gender identity. In a nutshell, the new rewrite means men can take academic and athletic scholarships from women. Men will have full access to bathrooms, locker rooms, etc. Men could be housed in dorm rooms with women. Students and faculty must compel their speech by requiring the use of preferred pronouns. If the guidelines above are ignored or even questioned, then you can be charged with harassment. Now, while many adults and biological females are afraid to speak out, there are some brave souls out there, and they happen to be children. Here is a video if you are watching on YouTube. There's no audio, but Phil, go ahead and just roll the video if you can, please, and I'll continue. According to reports, five middle school female athletes in West Virginia refused to throw the shot put against a biological male named Becky Pepper Jackson. This part of the fallout after 2 days in which the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals blocked the West Virginia law that says you must compete in the category that matches your sex. 13 and 14-year-old teenagers with more courage and common sense than many quiet, cowardly adults. Some other details of the shot put boycott, courtesy of OutKick. On Thursday, several girls stepped out during a meet to protest the inclusion of the transgender girl at the center of this case. The athlete in the case competes for the Bridgeport Middle School girls track and field team in Bridgeport, West Virginia. Bridgeport participated in the 2024 Harrison County Middle School Championships on Thursday afternoon at Liberty High School in Clarksburg, West Virginia. Seven schools comprise the meet: Bridgeport, Heritage Christian, Notre Dame, South Harrison, Lincoln, Mountaineer, and Washington Irving. Several members of one of the girls' shot put teams, quote, stepped in and then stepped out of the circle to protest this inclusion of a transgender athlete in the meet. The transgender athlete competes in both shot put and discus throwing. When each of the Lincoln girls had their names called to compete, they stepped into the ring, but instead of throwing the shot, they stepped right out and refused to participate. They did the same for the discus event. Good on those girls for standing up for common sense. My daughter Mia dances in competitions for her solo performance to a song from Beyonce. It's called Girls Run the World. And I want you to realize this. Make no mistake about it. Girls will run the 2024 general election this fall. The only question is whether the erasing of Title IX outweighs or even offsets the erasing of Roe v. Wade. And that's the big take.
The Big Take on Kale and Company.
And it's brought to you by United Tire. With all the driving around you do this spring, make sure you are taken care of and your car as well. Schedule an appointment at United Tire. From new tires to oil changes to state inspections, the skilled technicians at United Tire are here to help. Visit UnitedTire.com. That's UnitedTire.com. 855-839-1210 if you want to jump in on social media at 1210WPHT. And, of course, in the Kale and Company comment community on YouTube. Just go to YouTube.com/at1210WPHT and hit the like and subscribe buttons. When we come back, reaction to what happened on Friday with Title IX, as well as what's going on at Pembroke Middle School. The details and bias by omission again from the mainstream media. We'll get into that when we come back. Nick, Dawn, and Greg on a Monday morning here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHD and the free Odyssey app.
Good to have you in, Nick, Dawn, and Greg. Yeah, running down the drain. 855-839-1210 is how you jump in. Get us on the free Odyssey app. Watch us live on YouTube. So many big stories to get to this morning, from Title IX to Pembroke Middle School to more funding going to Ukraine. Those will be the three big themes and stories of the day here in the first hour and change. We'll get to the follow-up here at Pembroke in just a moment. But Dawn, wanted to get your thoughts and reaction to Title IX as a female yourself. We know the GOP has been in a tough spot since Roe v. Wade was relegated and kicked back down to the states. I'd like to think that what Joe Biden did to females with Title IX on Friday is going to maybe mitigate some of that damage that Republicans might feel with the wrath of the female. And I look at this as somebody that has daughters, and I'm like, you got to be kidding me with this. And I think it's a very tactical move by the Biden administration, because they didn't put the full ban in. If they did that, I think that would prevent people from voting for Joe. But if he gets reelected, I think that full ban comes into play, and females are going to be really, really angry about this.
I still think that this was what one of the first things Joe Biden did when he got into office. I mean, this was one of his executive orders. Mm-hmm. It's an agenda and a priority for him, and it's very obvious that he's trying to mitigate headlines. But his goal is clear. And to me, he disrespects women and girls, bottom line.
Yep.
In sports, I think he's pandering. But I think if you care about this issue, if you're educated on this issue, and I'm glad Paula Scanlon, who we all know, and she hosted that great local rally in Bucks County, U of Penn, you know, student who yep. herself, you know, has felt the wrath mm-hmm. of this situation. So I'm glad that, you know, Riley, Paula, all these young women who have had the courage to come forth, and it's brutal on social media against them, by the way. It's
oh, yeah, they get pounded. It's unbelievable. And it's a small percentage of people, which goes to show you, again, Twitter and social media, it's not real life, because 8 or 9 out of every 10 Americans agree with Riley Gaines, and some of them can't speak up in fear of being labeled as transphobic or homophobic. But yet we've got kids in middle schools that are boycotting the shot put because they don't want to compete against the dude. More power to them.
I just want to remind you guys, though, that all of the stuff was on the ballot in the last midterm, whatever, and it lost. So,
it hasn't gone well in Bucks County either.
No. Any place that these cultural issues, and I hate to use that term, but that's what it is.
It's a culture wars.
Any place that these culture issues are on the ballot, they lose.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm just looking at the records and I'm putting this up against abortion,
sure.
Abortion wins hands down.
Yeah,
in my
abortion's
opinion.
Got the better track yeah. record by far.
Yep.
Which is weird, because it's been, like you said, these issues have been on ballots and yep. they haven't succeeded, yet polling has showed that a majority of Americans disagree with it. And obviously you have privacy when you vote. So I'm surprised that the voting has gone the opposite way, to be completely honest, because if you vote against it, you're not going to be labeled transphobic because nobody knows how you voted. It's in secrecy.
Now, when there's a general election and there's more people that come out to actually vote than do in midterms and all that stuff, maybe,
sure.
maybe it's a different story.
Valid.
Although I don't think it will be.
All right. Speaking of females and bravery, this is not a brave, courageous act. This was a cowardly act, and we talked about it last week. And I know, Dawn, you had some stuff on this in the second hour of your show on Friday. As this has gone national, heck, it's gone international, because the Daily Mail has it. Girl who warned teachers about trans female student, 13 years old, with a hit list, bravely calls them out as she reveals in horrifying detail how the attacker beat her friend with a Stanley cup, which are those big glorified Yetis, if you don't know what a Stanley is, while screaming, quote, "I'm going to murder you. This is right here in our own backyard, Montgomery County. You know, you have this story here. I'm going to just give you a few highlights here. And I want to play this clip of audio from 6ABC as well. But the Daily Mail frames it this way. A brave Pennsylvania girl has spoken out furiously against teachers and administrators at her school after a transgender student savagely beat her friend using a Stanley cup. The incident took place at Pembroke Middle School on Wednesday when the 13-year-old blindsided the 12-year-old female in the school cafeteria using the cup, hitting her on the head and creating an open wound. School Superintendent Todd Bauer said that the attack, which was caught on security camera, was, quote, deeply disturbing in a statement on Thursday's board meeting for the school. However, as one unidentified student bravely said, not only did she warn the teachers and the bullying student about a hit list, but she added that she was the next one to get assaulted had it not been stopped. Quote, you could have stopped it. It was 5 hours from when I told you it was going to happen. I don't get how you couldn't have stopped that. She added that there was a girl with which this bully was targeting every day at lunch. The assailant was blunt enough to scream, I'm going to murder you, repeatedly at the student. A teacher responded to her saying, don't worry about it. It's not gonna happen. She added that once the attack began, it lasted 28 minutes despite the school board claiming it was just 8 minutes. Now, we have this clip from 6ABC. I found this on Saturday. And so this is after the incident. This is after the school board meeting. And I believe after a lot of these details came out. I want to play this clip for you because this is exactly what Dawn talks about when we hear bias by omission from the media. Listen to the 6ABC news recap of this story.
And now the details. A 12-year-old was hospitalized after being attacked by another student at Pembroke Middle School. Authorities say the student was hit in the head with a Stanley tumbler. Race and culture reporter Toronto Thomas joins us from North Wales tonight. And Toronto, you saw video of that brutal assault, and you, I guess, describe it as graphic, huh?
It is. It really is hard to watch. You know, police here in Upper Gwinnett Police are not releasing that video, but I did see it, and it's so hard to watch because in it you see a girl get hit over and over in the head by one of those big metal Stanley cups. She's left bloody and stunned, and parents say this all could have been prevented if the school would have heeded their warning.
The students went to the counselor yesterday and said, we heard something's going to happen at lunch today.
That was the warning Stephanie Polivkak says staff at Pembroke Middle School got Tuesday. By Wednesday afternoon, panic.
And when you get a phone call from your child who's crying, saying, Mom, help, there's blood everywhere.
A seventh grade girl injured in what Upper Gwinnett police describe as a, quote, unprovoked, sudden, violent attack. It happened inside the school's cafeteria.
Next thing they heard was a bang, hitting her in the head with a Stanley cup.
The girl's injury so severe she had to get staples in her head and is on concussion protocol.
The fear in these kids' voices, like, this had to be such a brutal attack because so many kids were screaming and crying.
Pembroke Middle School was put on hold for 8 minutes. The principal sent a letter to parents that says in part, quote, the safety of our students is of the utmost importance. I ask that parents speak with their children about the consequences of fighting.
This isn't a fight. This is simply an assault.
One those parents say came after the alleged attacker had been at the school for only 3 days.
There was multiple parents who reached out about this child making threats.
What happened between that warning and the attack?
Stephen Ross says his son went to the student's previous school.
The person came out from the trees and brandished a knife on my son and his friend.
In a letter to parents, North Penn superintendent denies the student was transferred to this school after being expelled for violent behavior at another school. His letter goes on to say, quote, as a school district, we aspire to provide a safe and supportive learning environment for our students and staff, something parents say is not apparent.
And I'm going to be any other child's voice so this never happens again, because somebody needs to be held accountable for this.
All right, so there you have it. That's good enough. There's a little bit more here. But did you notice there was an omission? There was not one time in that long clip that we played that 6ABC made zero mention of the student being transgendered. This is unbelievable to me. So you have an attacker with a history of doing this. There's a reputation of this child being aggressive towards other students. There was a 5-hour warning. And in this LGBTQ plus world we live in, the identity obsession, they always want to, here's my pronouns. I'm going to advertise my identity until your head explodes. Yet the mainstream media will not share that identity when it blows up the narrative of the trans community is under attack. Dawn, I can't tell you the last time we've covered a story where a non-LGBTQ plus community member attacked a trans student. And it's not to paint with a broad brush, but there's a real anger issue with a lot of these trans individuals, and this is another one right here in our backyard.
Yeah, a couple of things. First of all, there is a hearing today. The 13-year-old is expected to be charged with aggravated assault, and we'll find out more in court. So because it's juvenile court, it's protected, and that's why we're not naming people.
Mm-hmm.
So what happened on Friday was, and there's a Facebook, they've created a Facebook page, North Penn United, where they're talking about this. But what happened Friday was we had, moms, I had been texting because I have a lot of relatives in that school district, in that area. We had people calling in with information about this. What's interesting to me is there was one mom in particular who stated that, yes, this very 13-year-old who'll be in juvenile court today,
mm-hmm,
was at her daughter's school, the other middle school, and was a real problem to the point that every gym period when the daughter had gym, she would pick her daughter up, pull her out of school, and then bring her back because, mm-hmm, she was bullied so badly.
Right.
She said in the past few weeks, the bully wasn't at school and they didn't know where the bully went. And even the mom said, gee, maybe this person who clearly has mental health issues is getting some help. They didn't know where this person went until this story broke this week. And then she said that, yes, this individual was transferred.
Yep.
That's a contradiction to what we're hearing from the superintendent. So we'll get more clarity today. Is this indeed the same person? In the defense of 6ABC, I truthfully think the reporter on the case, who I know, probably they just said, we don't know about the gender. Because initially I heard it was a girl. Then then I was told unequivocally, no, it's a boy.
Mm-hmm.
But that led us then to believe, okay, no, this person identifies as something different.
Yeah.
But the police report, I believe, says this is a boy.
Mm-hmm.
What's the sex this person was born as?
A boy.
Okay. A boy.
Okay. Alleged attacker.
Yes. By the way, the reporter, and I know you know her, but she's the cultural and race reporter for 6ABC.
We've got departments for that now.
Oh, yeah. God.
If that doesn't tell you agenda, what will, right?
Like, and puppet head Rick Williams throwing, oh, this is the race and culture reporter.
Puppet head Rick.
Oh, God. No offense, Dawn. These news anchors are just, they're just so stiff. And
yeah.
Shows a personality.
Yeah, the glory days of people like Dawn are over.
I know.
That ship has sailed for that industry, right? But, like, this is what I don't understand. So, we're having
it's awkward for me because I
know. I'm not asking you to bury any of your friends. I get it, but
I can
say
it. A football mom. Like, I know her. You know what I mean?
I can say it. I can say it.
Wonderful people.
So, we have conflicting reports, but either one's egregious. So,
oh, does she... She has a son at the school that we've...
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Yeah. I'm not going to be welcome. I'm not going to be welcome there anymore.
You're not going to that football game this year.
Sorry about that.
You're staying home this Saturday.
She's a football mom.
Yeah,
she's,
I gotcha.
But
I gotcha.
Part of it is this is getting down in the weeds, but sometimes as a news reporter, you're told you're not... Did you notice that she artfully did cartwheels backwards not to even say whether the attacker, to say the boy accused the girl.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
She said the student.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Because they're saying, just don't deal with it.
Yeah, we got to do all these vocabulary gymnastics these days.
Exactly.
It's just outrageous. But the conflict here, and both of them are unacceptable. She added that the attack lasted 28 minutes. Mm-hmm. The school board says, no, it was 8 minutes. I don't care if it was 8 minutes, 18 minutes, or 28 minutes. How does an attack in a cafeteria at a school go on for 8 minutes? Where's the adult supervision? Where's the custodians or the principal? Or I remember in cafeteria time in lunch in fifth period or sixth period for us, there would be a few teachers that weren't teaching a class that were monitoring. They'd stand in the corner. They'd walk around and make jokes to you, talk to, you know, little pockets of students if they had a relationship with. How does an attack go on even for eight minutes?
Let alone 28.
Yes.
The next time you guys tease me about saying that I think kids should be allowed to have their cell phones in school, just remember this story. Because these kids were able to call mom and dad at home. I don't know why the victim, who's only 12, she did the right thing. She went to the school at least twice in the morning. 9 o'clock in the morning.
And the footage, there's no video footage. Like, whoever recorded this, nobody's posted it from a cell phone?
They haven't posted it. Yeah. It's evidence, and get into the weeds here because these are 12 and 13-year-olds, and then there are other kids because it's a crowded lunchroom.
Right.
So it will eventually come out because it's evidence in a courtroom.
Mm-hmm. And you know, charged with aggravated assault, serious charge for sure. But the reality is, with one of those big metal Stanleys, especially for the duration in which this occurred, 8 minutes or 28 minutes, you could conceivably kill somebody if you hit him repeatedly hard enough with one of these Stanleys. I mean, this is not like a plastic water bottle. You fill these things up with coffee or whatever. These things are like 2-3 pounds. Heavy.
And you think about that. This is terrifying. And then you think about the fact that she has a physical recovery. The school was also quick to say, and everybody was reporting, oh, good news, the victim here is out of the hospital and is going to be okay. I don't know how many staples and stitches the victim, the 12-year-old girl, has in her head, but I can tell you that's not a quick recovery. She's on a concussion protocol.
Yep.
We don't know the long-term effects of this.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is horrifying.
Sergeant Mark Fu, who's in our YouTube chat, says there is footage of this.
There is footage.
There is.
Okay. I have yet to see it online or social media.
Yeah,
I knew they had security footage, but...
There's absolutely multiple pieces of footage. But because of the age.
Gotcha.
It hasn't been released.
Yep.
But let me just propose something.
Yep. Yeah.
If the victim's family files suit, which I think that they probably will, because they could claim negligence. And so I'm not a lawyer, but, you know, I'm just saying, as a parent, I would, because there's enough here. This girl, for 5 hours prior to this, was saying, this kid is threatening me, this kid's going to hurt me, this kid's going to kill me. And so if the parents file suit, let's just say, under discovery laws, the lawyer would get the video. That's the opportunity where we will see it.
Okay.
And in my opinion, and not to glamorize it, they can blur out parts of it, but the public deserves to see this and understand what's going on. And in the name of what? Partisan politics or protecting certain interest groups? We're going to allow kids to be victimized?
I agree. Yeah. 855-839-1210. We'll come back, put a bow on the 6 o'clock hour. Ukraine coming up in the second hour of the show. It's Kale and Company Monday morning, back after this.
Do you want a greener, healthier lawn that's also safer for your family and for your pets? You want to call my lawn care company, Natural Lawn of America. I've been a customer for years. Trust me, you're going to love the results. Maybe too much. You should see, my lawn looks like a jungle right now. It's so green. No, haven't cut the lawn yet. So it's long, it's lush, it's beautiful. Natural Lawn has been creating green lawns quickly, more naturally, fewer weeds for more than 35 years now. They have certified specialists. They tailor their treatments to your lawn's specific needs. So my guy is Tony. So I told you before, Italy, he had identified some, I don't know, it was like hairy something. These names of weeds, I don't know. But they identify the issue. But they have environmentally friendly approaches that reduce the needs for all those chemicals to create a safer lawn for your family and, of course, for your pets to enjoy. Natural Lawn is locally owned, family operated in Pennsylvania and New Jersey. They are competitively priced. They have a satisfaction guarantee. I trust the leader in organic-based lawn care. You should, too. Just give them a call today. The limited time offer does expire the end of this month. Tick-tock. And this offer is free seeding every year. Schedule Natural Lawn's full service program. They're going to seed your lawn every single year, free of charge. 800-FREE-SEED, 800-FREE-SEED, naturallawn.com. Learn more. Choose my lawn care company, Natural Lawn of America, Natural Lawn of America. Greener grass, fewer weeds, guaranteed. Tell them Dawn sent you.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHD and on the free Odyssey app.
Kale and Company, as we get ready to wrap up the first hour of the show, Dawn will have some news to kick off the 7 o'clock hour. Cut sheet absolutely loaded at 7:45. We'll get to Mike Johnson, the House, $95 billion Ukraine funding. Also, a high school soccer game canceled because 30 migrants refused to leave the field, or as they say in soccer, the pitch. And as we wrap up the 6 o'clock hour here, if you remember, if you're watching on YouTube, you'll see the graphic now. Remember our crazy plane lady from Texas that had a meltdown on that flight because she lost her earbuds?
Oh, yeah.
You're seeing it right now on YouTube. Well, she's back in the news, sporting off a bikini and holding a can of, if you recall, ultra-right beer, the beer for conservatives, 100% woke-free American beer.
She's becoming an influencer.
She's a total influencer now. So do I.
Society.
But the visual's quite compelling. And she says, oh, by the way, I wonder how many people I'm going to piss off with this post. So is now an appropriate time to tell y'all that men don't belong in women's sports? So even she is jumping into the culture wars, pimping beer, and looking quite well in the process. Crazy chicks need loving, too.
Another grifter, but yeah, sure.
Yeah.
You do you.
Yep.
Jesse Waters had her on it. I think,
of course he did.
Yeah. Of course he did. You know, because she's smart and nice.
Yeah, right? Sure.
Smart and looks awesome in a bikini, sure maybe. I think that kind of launched her.
It's a real great show.
I knew soccer would get a kick out of
worth it.
I plotted it perfectly. We had about 64 seconds to talk about it. That's all he could handle. Wanted to squeeze it
thank
in.
Thank you.
Round it up.
Hour two is up next. Dawn will have some news to kick off the 7 o'clock hour. It's Kale and Company on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
Start your day with Kale and Company. Weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD and the free Odyssey app.